Colossians chapter number 3, turn with me. A little unique feature of the message this morning, we're going to be entirely in the New Testament, mostly in the writings of Paul. I think I make one reference outside, I think the Apostle Peter once in the Gospels a couple times. Mostly, though, the writings of the Apostle Paul. If you're able, stand to your feet this morning for the reading of the Word of God. I have preached this scripture upon different occasions. However, this is a brand new message. Got what I feel like is some interesting things that I want to share with the church. I hope that this stirs your heart and mind. Hallelujah. Do you love the Lord? Now, if you wasn't here last Wednesday night, I just want to tell you, you missed it. We just had a phenomenal, I think, move of God here Wednesday night, and very blessed, very blessed. Notice the first three verses of Colossians chapter number 3. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection," somebody say that good and loud, "affection," say the word affection one more time, "affection on things above and not on things on the earth, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God." Will you reach your hands this way? I want you to pray for this morning. I've still got some little lingering something that's hindering me a little bit, but let's just agree in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning. We praise you this morning. We honor you for your touch. Thank you for the power of your Spirit. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for ever promising your word. And Jesus, this morning, have your way with every heart. Minister, Lord, be glorified through this service, through this message, through this time. And Lord, as we focus on the Word of God today, Lord, just give us your understanding as we move from Scripture to Scripture. Give us light. Let us see. Direct us, Lord, in the way that you'd have us to go. We acknowledge you in all of our ways. So, Lord, direct our path this morning. Be glorified and just have your way. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You may be seated if you wish. I'm going to point your attention to a couple of words that are in this text here and try, with the help of the Lord, to look closely at what it's saying. And let's just be obedient to the Lord today. Is that all right? I want you to receive what the Lord has for you. I want to read the first two verses in a different version here. And listen, it says, "Since you brought back to life," since you were brought back to life with Christ, he says, "focus," say that word with me, "focus on things that are above, where Christ holds the highest position. Keep your mind on things above, not on worldly things." I want to, by way of instruction today, share a few verses with you, and I want to challenge children of God to sort of tune your focus in a little better. How many of you recognize that it's easy to be distracted in the world we live in? There are distractions on every corner. I want you to know you need sanctified eyes as you go through a grocery line. Somebody say amen again. You need to be very selective as to the types of entertainment that you allow your mind to muse with. I believe that what we put before our eyes, what we set our feet a tapping to, affects our thinking, affects our life. It results in the outcropping of our life, what churns on the inside. Somebody say amen. So it's very important that we cultivate good entertainment habits. Glory. And as I look at these scriptures, that's going to become very, very apparent. You know, the Bible talks about those that are without natural affection. The word affection appears a few times through the scripture. The word affection here, but before I get to that, I want you to notice in verse number 1, he uses the word seek. Say the word seek. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God." Matthew 7:7, "Seek and ye shall find." Matthew 13:48 describes a parable in which the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking. goodly pearls. The 99, the shepherd leaves the 99 and seeks the one. Somebody say seek. Amen. Mark 16 and 6. To a risen Savior, the angels declared, you seek Jesus. Guess what? He ain't here. He's risen. How many seek a risen Savior today? And if we're seeking a risen Savior, we don't need to look for Him in the tomb. He won't be there. We need to look for Him exalted at the right hand of God the Father. I look the word seek up here, and I can't pronounce these words anyways. You don't know it either, so praise the Lord. It said, it means to worship. I want you to think about this. And in a bad sense, this word elsewhere meant to plot, even to the point of getting somebody's life. It means to scheme or to devise. So if we're seeking Christ and we're plotting and we're scheming and we're meditating, we're worshiping, we're focusing, we're desiring, that word was used as endeavor, inquire, require, seek after, seek for, or seek means. And how many recognize we need to look for something? You're not going to find it in this world. You're not going to find it in the bottom of a bottle. You're not going to find it in a needle. You're not going to find it in a pill. Someone say amen. You're not going to find it in this artificial stimulus. You're not going to find it in a relationship with somebody else, be it male or female. Somebody say amen. But what you're going to find when you find the piece of the puzzle that you need, that I need, we're going to find it in Jesus. I want to title the message this morning, Proper Affection. Proper Affection. Man was made in the image of God. And there is, I believe, in the heart of all of us, somewhere down deep inside, if the enemy don't cover or mask it, I believe there is a longing for God. I believe there is an emptiness that people seek everything in the world to fill, only to be left more empty, because this creation of God, made in the image of God, can only be satisfied by the presence of God. And we seek everything else. But God is saying, I believe to us this morning, you seek me, you hunger for me, you focus on me above. Set your affection. Now we get into this word. Somebody say affection. This word means, and again, this word, pronio. There you go. You know a Greek word there. It's Greek to me. It's Greek to you too. Pronio, this word means to exercise the mind. That is to entertain or have sentiment or opinion. By implication, to be mentally disposed, to be earnest in a certain direction, to be intensely interested in oneself. I could say a lot of things here. It means to focus and meditate our energy upon. How many believe this morning that Jesus is at the exalted right hand of God the Father, having victory over death, hell, and the grave? He is there. Hallelujah. And that is the focal point. That is where our attention needs to be focused to. Just like our Lord walked on the water, bidding Peter to come, Peter was able to walk on the water as long as his attention, his focus, his affection was set upon Jesus. But when he became distracted with the waves and the things surrounding him, his focus got off of the Lord onto other things. I want you to know, with the Lord as the center of our attention and our focus, we can do miraculous things. And the church needs to know today that we're not going to get it with another program. We're not going to get it with a traveling evangelist. Hear me now. We're not going to get it with paperwork from headquarters. We're going to have to get it by looking only to Jesus. He is our source. He is our life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's everything we need today. He's the resurrection and the life. Jesus Christ is that piece of the puzzle that we have got to have. Matthew chapter 16. Follow me for a few minutes this morning. This word I mentioned to you, pronio, used to describe the exercise of the mind, is the word for affection when he tells us to set our affection on things above. Exercise our mind, focus our attention on things above. And wanted to give you a couple of examples how this word was used elsewhere. And I love to do this, just trying to drive home the point of what the Apostle Paul is telling us here that we need to do. Hallelujah. How many need to focus on Jesus today? More. Now I'm going to take a natural setting. Matthew 16:22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Peter was expecting an earthly kingdom. Peter was expecting this king called Jesus to set up a throne right then, right there. Not go by the way of the cross. Not go by the way of suffering. Not go by the way of humiliation. And Peter was trying to straighten Jesus out. I want to help y'all out this morning. You don't need to straighten Jesus out. He ain't bent. He ain't crooked. Ain't nothing wrong with my Lord. Is that okay? Could I say that today? What we need to understand is just get with His plan, on His wavelength, do it His way. And if we'll do it His way, I think it'll be all right. Now, Peter was messed up here. His focus was wrong. His emphasis was wrong. His understanding was messed up. His thinking was stinking. Amen. No, Lord, be it far from Thee, this shall not be unto thee. Now notice verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, this is Jesus, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest. Here's the word. Your affection, that pronio, that word in the Greek language I mentioned to you that talked about our focus and what we need to meditate on and where our affection and our understanding needs to lie in. Somebody say amen. Are y'all with me this morning? He's rebuking Peter and says, your meditation and the source of your thinking, the exercise of your mind, is not on the things that be of God, but those that be of men. You know, you get this idea of grandeur down here. You know, I recall, I'll say this, when I was a young preacher, I thought, you know, I'm going to preach to thousands and millions of people. I'm sorry I got stuck with you. Don't get mad at me. Y'all love me anyways. You know, I was thinking of a church in eastern Kentucky, not mentioning it, but a church that has problems and carnality. You know, I got to thinking, and I'm not putting a feather in your hat, not asking you to pat yourself on the back, but I says, I know our church. I know we love one another. How many are thankful for a church that you know the love of God is there and you love one another? And you can give me everything in the world. You can put crystal chandeliers up and we can be living in a glass palace, but I would rather have a handful of people that I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that love one another and the presence of Jesus there and knowing that the true, unadulterated Word of God is being preached. I would rather have that situation than to be in a church with thousands and thousands of people and it be a carnal gathering. Turn to Romans 8. He rebuked Peter and said, the exercise of your mind, you're not savoring the right thing. How many think of the word savor? And I just think of just something that, how many just had a good crock pot of soup beans? Somebody say, good preaching this morning, Brother Ted. And Brother Gerald, some good pork tenderloin right there in the MBs. That's what I'm talking about now. And you just get that flavor. And I know Geneva will have that cooking and going, and I want to be eating right then, but she'll make me wait. Something wrong with that woman. Her, she's back there. I could preach, she's back there. But there's something about something that's enjoyable and palatable, pleasurable, that we want to hold on to and just allow it to linger. Someone say, praise the Lord. I tell you what I love to do. I love to put on some good gospel music on my computer that cycles through maybe 10, 15, 20 good praise and worship songs, and I just like to lay down and close my eyes and just soak. Y'all have no idea what I'm talking about, do you? Come on now. And just, Brother Russell, just enjoy the flavor. Hallelujah. And just feel the presence of God. Not be in any hurry. Hear me now. We get in a hurry. Lord, you can move as long as you move before 12 o'clock. I'm fine. You know what, God? I don't think works within the confines of your time parameters. Hear me now. But there's something about just allowing the Lord to savor. And just exercising the mind and just allowing the meditation of who He is. And I don't know about you, but driving down the road, I've had some of my best services. Just me, a yellow line, a white line, and God. Glory to God. And maybe a little gospel music going on just to help us keep in tune. What do you savor today? What lingers in the recesses of your mind? What captures your attention? What's pleasurable for you to think about? Now, I'm getting ready to tread on some very, very thin ice here. And if I offend you, praise the Lord. I want you to know I love the Kentucky Wildcats more than anything, but to some people, it's a god. And I think this year, their god ain't doing too good. Don't get me wrong. I love... But folks, I tell you what, when the Wildcats are winning and they win the national championship like they done last year, that's what people think about, that's what they talk about, that's what they meditate, that's what they savor, that's what they enjoy. Friends, I'll tell you, I know who the champion of all champions is. Hallelujah. I know the King of every king, the Lord of every Lord. I know the author and the finisher of my faith. I know that I know that I know that I've been to Calvary and I understand what He done for me. And I can't help but talk about it. I can't help but brag about it, knowing that I am the champion and I'm part of the team that won the greatest prize. Do you hear me today? Knowing that that's not going to go away tomorrow, but tomorrow also, next year, next millennium, next eon, I will still be part of the team that's the champions of all eternity. And I'm savoring it. And I'm just enjoying it today. And I'm exercising my mind and just meditating on how good it is. Are y'all with me today? Are you risen with Christ? Have you come out of that watery grave? Over in chapter 2 here in Colossians, he talked about being buried with Him in baptism, wherein you're risen with Him through faith in the operation of God. I tell you what, I have been identified in the burial of Jesus Christ. I have taken up my cross. I have followed Him. But I tell you what, He didn't leave me in the tomb. He didn't leave me in the grave, but He brought me out in newness of life. I'm walking today with Jesus, and Jesus is no longer dead, friend. I tell you what, He's no longer on the cross. He's no longer in the tomb, but He's at the right hand of God the Father. And that's where we are focusing on today. Romans chapter number 8. Do we savor bearing the cross? How many will have to say no? But we take it up anyways and follow the Lord. If you've ever been ridiculed for your faith, made fun of, humiliated, shunned, laughed at, then friends, all you're doing is associating yourself with the Savior. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the touch of the Lord in this place today. Romans 8 and 5 says, "For they that are after the flesh, proneo, do mind." They exercise, they meditate in the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the implied here is the same thing, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity and enemy against God, for he's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Paul in Philippians talked about those who mind earthly things, the drug addict, the alcoholic, the womanizer, the prostitute, people today, so many people trapped in sin, live for the moment, but they live for their appetite. How many recognize that our appetites aren't always good? And I'm talking about the desires and the lust of the flesh. If you live after the flesh, the Bible says you will die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, the Scripture says that we will live. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy. I want to share with you two sets of twins. I heard the other day a lady did not have quadruplets, but she had two sets of identical twins, each set different in themselves. Interesting, huh? Two sets of identical twins. Well, I want to give you today, I thought of that when I done my message, Brother Russell, because I got two sets of twins. I want to share with you the first set of twins. 2 Timothy 2:15, I could quote this. He says, study. Somebody say study. study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As I contemplated setting our affections and the focus of the exercise of our mind, how many believe we need to study? We need to study the word of God. You know, Paul in one place said, study to be quiet. How many don't want to take that lesson? Glory to God. Oh, it's getting quiet. That just means you're listening. Study means to engage yourself or to apply yourself to. Amen. But with study, I believe there's a twin with study. And you'll see this. And it's meditation. If you're going to study about something, and I want you to know, I was always in school blessed with the mentality that I really didn't have this wait till the last second and cram for a test type of mentality. I never did. But I would take days before and I would think about it and I would study a little bit and think about it and I would let it muse. It helped you on a test. Because I just don't want to cram something at the very last second to learn to get a grade and then forget it. Have me understand it's better to think about things beforehand. So to me, study and meditation are a set of twins. Now back in 1 Timothy chapter 4, just roll back. You're here, you're close. Verse 14, Paul is saying to Timothy, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. The word presbytery here is the body of elders, the church, the authority of the church, if you would. But Paul is saying, Timothy, you've got a gift. I want to tell the church now, you've got gifts. You've got abilities. You've got the gifts of the Spirit at your availability. You've got talents. You've got things in your life. You've got treasures. And notice what it says here, verse 15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. I've told both of my children recently, give the Lord your full best try just to see what He'll do in your life. How many believe you can challenge God in this way? Quit living around the edge. Quit playing in the shallow water. Hear me now. Dive on in. If you don't do it but for 2 weeks, just to see what God will do, I believe you'll dive in and you'll like the water. Hallelujah. And you'll tell others, come on in. It's good. That thy profiting may appear to all, take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. I love that. Continue in them. Say that with me. Continue in them. Have me understand you can't just grab it and drop it. You got to hold on to it. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. One other set. I'm not going to ask you to turn. In fact, turn to 1 Peter. This will be my last verse. 1 Peter chapter 4. The last set of twins is prayer and worship. I don't hardly think you can separate them. We can talk individually about them, and they both are a world in themselves, but they're inseparable at the same time. Help me understand what I'm saying by that. Even Jesus, when He told them how to pray, Sister Betty, He says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You begin prayer with worship. Help me understand that. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Luke 18:1, He spoke a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 21:36, watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Part of our armor in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And I've asked you to turn to 1 Peter, chapter 4. How many understand that we're in the last days and really truly believe that? We need to set our affection on things above. Meditation and study. Prayer and worship. Are y'all with me? Meditation and study. We're focused on Him. We're exercising the mind. Prayer and worship. Verse 7, and this is an odd verse I know to close with. Sister Betty, if you want to come to the piano this morning, I think this is a record for me. I am short-winded today. 1 Peter 4:7 says this, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober." And that don't mean just don't lack the intoxication of alcohol in your system. How many know that means to be aware, to be vigilant, to be watchful? And he says this, "And watch unto prayer." You know, I believe that what we need in this church, how many understand there are several things we need in our church, like all churches. But we need to focus on the Lord more. We need to focus on Jesus more. We need to get our attention more on Him. And I'm afraid that, as in a lot of places, how many understand people get their eyes on man, personalities, people, things? You know, we're part of a denomination that's doing a great work for God. And I am pleased to say I am a ordained bishop in the Church of God, Cleveland, Tennessee. If I didn't like that, Brother Mike, I'd go somewhere else. But I want you to know, so many times people let that organization hinder them. I believe the Church of God is here as a blessing. It's as a help. Amen. But I don't worship or serve a denomination. I'm not going to use my ministerial rank credentials to give to Peter as he stands at the pearly gates. I don't think Peter would be at the pearly gates checking us anyways. Help me understand that. I don't think it's my ticket to heaven. But I want to tell you what my ticket to heaven is. My ticket to heaven, and the reason right now I stand before you with absolute faith and confidence, is the fact that I believe the account of the Word of God that tells what Jesus done for me. My faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. He is my entire ticket. I want you to know it's not Jesus' blood and that will get me to heaven. Friends, it is simply what He done. And this morning, if you are not ready to meet the Lord, if you're not heaven bound to where that you have the same confidence that I have right now, and friends, I've got confidence I'm going to heaven. I have every faith in the Word of God, and I know what it says. You know why? Because I've meditated, and I've studied, and I've worshipped, and I've prayed, and I've gained this conclusion that Jesus is my way. Jesus is not a way. Jesus is the way. This morning, do you know Him? I want us just to bow our heads. We want to shortly come and gather around the altar and pray. But before we do, I want everyone just to bow your heads, and I want every child of God praying, and you know, just so that everyone in here knows that you have a personal invitation. I want to give you the opportunity this morning to know Jesus. Not corporately, not because you're the member of a church, not because your family goes to a church, but individually. I want to give you the opportunity to know the Lord. Would there be one right now, as every head is bowed, every eye is closed, and we're focusing on Jesus today, would there be one right now that would say, "Brother Ted, I believe in my life I'm not ready to meet the Lord, and I need help today. Would you pray for me?" Would you be honest right now? Does that describe you? Our young people today, does that describe you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While every head is bowed, I also want to challenge the church. I want to challenge children of God. Because, you know, sometimes we lose focus. We don't keep our affection where it needs to be. Would there be a child of God say, "Brother Ted, I know I'm on my way to heaven, but my goodness, I'm struggling. I need help." Would there be a hand all over the building? Be honest today. Be honest today. Not going to embarrass anyone. Not going to embarrass anyone. All right. Sounds like we're all in good shape. I want us to stand to our feet right now. You know, we've been given an opportunity, and sometimes people don't feel like that they can acknowledge things openly, but I want everyone to find a place and pray today. and you can talk to the Lord personally one-on-one. Let's come and gather around the altar. Kneel at your seat. Find a place and call upon the Lord today.